Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are really jumping straight into the deep end.
We are.
You brought us a source titled Title and Escrow Issues in Property Deals. And you specifically said we need to frame this whole thing around what it calls independent property deals.
It's a fantastic request, really, because we're not going to waste time defining title and escrow.
Right.
The mission here is to dissect that word, issues. Because property deals, I mean, especially the independent ones, they're not just transactions. They're exercises in some pretty complex risk management.
Exactly. The fact that the source pulls out independent property deals as its own category, that tells me everything.
It says a lot.
It tells us the normal safety nets, the banks, you know, the mortgage underwriters, all that regulatory stuff. It's gone. And when you remove that, you create a very specific, I'd say amplified legal threat.
And what's fascinating here is what that implies. We're not talking about a simple delay in closing.
No.
We're talking about fundamental flaws, things that can literally nullify your ownership or, you know, bankrupt a buyer. When those institutional checks and balances are missing, the reliance on a clean title and a really solid escrow process just, it skyrockets.
Okay, so let's unpack this. I think we should start with the biggest threat, title issues.
Makes sense.
When someone in this field talks about title issues, they're not worried about a typo. They're worried about what they call latent defects. So what are those, and why does an independent deal make them so much more dangerous?
Right. So latent defects are basically the hidden problems, the encumbrances or rights that aren't obvious, even if you do a standard search. Your typical title search is designed to find recorded documents, you know, liens, mortgages, things like that. But latent defects, they're the ghosts in the machine. They come from old legal actions or historical mistakes that compromise the entire chain of title.
So you're saying the person selling the property might not even know they don't have a full, clear title to actually give someone?
Precisely. That's the scary part. Common examples are deeds that were improperly signed maybe decades ago.
Wow.
Or outright fraud, where a signature was forged, but it was never challenged. And a big one is adverse possession claims.
Explain that one.
It's where, say, a neighbor has been using a strip of your land openly for years and years, and now legally they might actually have a claim to it. That kind of claim isn't recorded like a lien. It has to be legally verified.
That brings up a really important question. If the risk is buried in old paperwork, why does the independent part of the deal matter so much? I mean, doesn't the title company have to do the same search either way?
They do the search, yes, but what happens after the search, the curative requirements, that changes completely.
Okay.
In a deal with a bank, the lender requires title insurance, period. And that insurance company, they demand the title is squeaky clean before they'll issue a policy. They become this powerful third party making the seller fix every single little defect.
But in an independent deal?
In an independent deal, let's say a cash transaction, where the parties think, hey, let's skip the insurance, save some money, who is enforcing that cleanup?
The entire burden just shifts over to the buyer's due diligence.
Yes.
And that buyer might not even know what to ask for. They might not know to ask about some old judgment lien that's still technically on the books.
And this is where we see the huge difference between, say, a warranty deed and a quitclaim deed.
Right.
A normal sale uses a warranty deed. The seller is legally guaranteeing they have clear title and will defend it. But in some independent deals, maybe between family, they'll use a quitclaim deed.
Which offers what?
Zero warranty. None. The seller is just handing over whatever interest they might have in the property. If you buy a property with a quitclaim deed in an independent deal, you are inheriting every single ghost.
That is a staggering vulnerability, and it really helps define what we mean by independent property deals. And we should probably give some specific examples. Mm-hmm. What are, say, three common types of these deals where the risks are just off the charts?
Okay, yeah. Let's look at three high-risk models. First up, seller-financed land contracts.
Where the seller is the bank.
Exactly. The seller holds the legal title, the deed, while the buyer just makes payments. The title doesn't actually transfer until that very last payment is made.
And the issue there is?
The issue is, what if the seller has liens or judgments filed against them during the contract period? Those liens can attach to the property.
So wait, the buyer is making payments on an asset that the seller could be actively letting get cluttered up with their own totally unrelated debt.
You've got it. The buyer's interest is totally unprotected because the seller still holds the title.
Wow. Okay, what's number two?
Second one would be quiet title actions or transfers into a really complex trust. A quiet title action is a lawsuit to fix a messy title. It's often needed for inherited property. But if that legal process is done wrong, or if you don't notify all the potential heirs...
The title you get out of it is already defective. Ready for the next lawsuit.
Ready for the next lawsuit. And the third type.
Let me guess. For sale by owner.
Direct for sale by owner, FSBO, cash transactions, where the parties decide to bypass everyone, agents, lawyers, just to close quickly.
I can see the danger signs already.
They'll use generic contracts from the internet, cheap title services, and they almost always skip title insurance. This is where you see simple things, like a wrong property description or an old mortgage that was never cleared just completely fall through the cracks.
This is a perfect bridge to the next point. We've talked about title risk, which is ownership risk. Now we have to connect it to the escrow process, which is procedural risk.
Yes.
Finding a defect is step one. Step two, the job of escrow, is making sure that defect is legally and financially fixed before any money changes hands.
Escrow is supposed to be that neutral fiduciary layer, but its job gets exponentially harder in an independent deal.
How so?
In a traditional sale, the lender gives the escrow agent a huge standardized list of closing instructions. In an independent deal, the escrow agent, who might just be a regular attorney, is only as good as the instructions the buyer and seller give them. But hold on, why is that burden on the parties? If they're sophisticated enough to do an independent deal, couldn't they just use, say, an attorney's trust account to hold the money? Why bother with a formal escrow agent at all?
That is a really sharp question. They could, but that attorney is just holding and releasing funds based on what they're told.
Okay.
A real escrow agent, especially in states where they're regulated, is supposed to be a neutral third party that verifies that all conditions are met before closing. The problem in independent deals is that those conditions are often vague or non-standard.
Can you give me a specific escrow issue that really only pops up because a deal is independent?
Absolutely. Improper prorations and non-bank payoff errors.
Unpack that.
In a normal deal, the lender gives a verified payoff statement for the old mortgage. The escrow agent then carefully prorates taxes, HOA dues, everything, right down to the day of closing.
And in an independent deal?
In a seller finance deal, the seller might just give you their own payoff number. It could have weird interest calculations. Maybe it misses an IRS tax lien they have, or a silent second mortgage they took out.
And if the escrow agent, who doesn't have that big institutional checklist, just pays out based on that bad number,
the buyer is now on the hook for a deficiency and could even face default.
Exactly.
So it's not about the agent forgetting to sign something.
No, it's a failure of fiduciary responsibility. Because the instructions themselves were bad. And it gets worse. When the parties are pushing for speed or low cost, they might pressure the agent into what's called a dry closing.
Tell us about the risk of a dry closing here.
A dry closing is where all the papers get signed, the deed, the closing statement, everything. But the money isn't dispersed right away.
Why would anyone do that?
Maybe they're waiting for one last condition to be met. It's common in complex independent exchanges. But this creates a dangerous lag time between signing and funding.
A gap.
A huge gap. And if, during that gap, the escrow agent gets notice of a brand new judgment lien against the seller, and the original instructions didn't plan for that.
Oh, that's a nightmare. The agent is in a legal bind, and the buyer is suddenly exposed to a massive new risk they thought they had avoided.
It sounds like the very system that's designed to protect everyone is itself the point of failure when you strip away that institutional framework.
Yes. The whole title of this source, title and escrow issues in property deals, it's basically one big warning label.
That really is the key takeaway. The issues themselves, the lands, the boundary disputes, they don't change. But the statutory protections that force a resolution before closing, they just vanish when you go independent.
So the risk isn't just that a problem exists.
No, the risk is that there's no mandated system to force the cleanup of that problem.
Let's bring this back to fraud for a second, because fraud loves a lack of oversight.
Oh, absolutely.
When you bypass standard lender underwriting, you lose all those critical checks that are designed to spot things like, you know, straw buyers or flipping schemes that are set up just to dump defective properties on some poor, unsuspecting buyer.
100%. The lack of standard underwriting makes it so much easier to hide the truth, misrepresent the value, or even misrepresent who the real parties are.
What do you mean?
Well, if a mysterious third party is paying the buyer's closing costs, a conventional lender would demand to know why. That's a huge red flag for them.
But in an independent deal?
In an independent deal, no one might ask. And those hidden relationships can lead to all sorts of future legal claims.
So if we step back and look at the whole source,
what it's really arguing is that the entire structure of title and escrow is, I mean, it's inherently designed to fail catastrophically when that safety net, that regulatory rigor, is willingly thrown away.
And we have to reinforce that idea. The issues are always there in every deal, but the probability of them causing, you know, irreparable harm goes up dramatically in an independent deal.
Because the standard fail-safes are gone.
They're gone. The buyer is forced to become their own title underwriter, their own regulatory compliance officer all at once.
So what does this all mean for you, the person listening right now? When you see the terms title and escrow in the future, especially if you're reading about private deals or alternative investments, mm-hmm. remember what's implied when a deal is structured independently. That single word, independent, it's a signal. It's a cue to ramp up your own due diligence to an institutional level, even if there's no institution there to help you.
Which really raises an important final question for you to think about. If these issues are big enough to be highlighted under the specific heading, independent property deals,
right.
what specific safeguards are you losing when a deal foregoes that traditional oversight? Think about the very specific requirements a regulated bank has, or the legal rights a title insurance policy gives you, and then imagine the real cost in time and money to try and recreate those protections all by yourself.
That defines the true risk of going it alone.
That's it. That's the real risk of independence.
A really compelling thought to end on. Thank you for sharing this source with us for today's deep dive.
My pleasure.
We hope this breakdown helps you navigate the very high-stakes world of property, deals with a bit more clarity and caution. Catch you next time.